כל הלשון, כל התורה, בכל מקום.
This week we learn Parshas Lech Lecha. And in this Parsha, our story begins. Bereshis Noach is the beginning of the world. Avraham Avinu was the first Jew. And in this Parsha, our story begins. And it begins with Lech Lecha. Asor Nesyonis, Nesnas Avraham Avinu V'yamad Bekulam. He was tested 10 times, and he passed the test. So towards the second part of today's year, we will speak about Lech Lecha. But the end of this week's Parsha, one of the 10 Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu was Mitzvah Smila. And usually in Parshas Lech Lecha, the sugya we discuss is always associated with Mitzvah Smila. And today we discuss a topic which is about Mila, but not only about Mitzvah Smila. And that is the topic of Chazaka B'mitzvahs. When a person was Zoicha in a mitzvah once, twice, 3 times, how exactly one achieves the status of a Chazaka we will mention towards the end of this year, but the concept of Chazaka B'mitzvahs. If a person has a Chazaka, he's Zoilachos and Torah, Zoilachos and Bereshis, he does this, he does that, does he have an argument to say, this is mine and you cannot give it to anyone else? So let's start with the sugya of Mitzvah Smila. The Ramo Reish Samech Dalet Sif Aleph clearly says that if you're mechabed a person to be a moel or a sandik, you cannot retract and take it away from him. The source of this aloha is a Mordechai twice. Mesechet Gittin Shin Samech Gimel Mesechet Shabbos and Agos Mordechai Tofayim Beis Tofayim Gimel. And the Mordechai says, you cannot take that away from him because he was Zoicha. He is the Muchzik and there is Chazaka by Mitzvahs. The Mordechai learns this halacha from an interesting source. And that is the sugya of Makirei Kehuna 3 times in Shas Gittin Lamed Omed Aleph, Bava Basa Kuf Chav Gemal Omed Beis, Chulin Kuf Lamed Beis Omed Aleph. And essentially what we have in the Gemara there is, if you are accustomed to give your tumas to a certain kohen, and you always give your maaser to a certain levi, even before you even gave them those tumas and maasers, those fruits or vegetables, it is as if they were already zoicha. Regarding specific halachas, we won't go into details in the sugya Makira Kohen because that is, it's not really the sugya we are talking about. I'm just mentioning the source from which the Mordechai derives his psak. So just like by Mekira Kena, the mere fact that I always give my tumas to this kohen and to this levi compels me. It is as if it's taken for granted. It is his entitlement, the same regarding a moyal or a sandik. And I was asked many times, does that mean, Baruch Hashem, Mr. A, Mr. B has a big family and he has 5 boys and he was mechabed a moyel to do boy number 1, number 2, number 3. Is he mechuyev if he has another 10 boys to take the same moyel, or could he decide at any stage, I want to try another moyel? And I paskin, you could take another moyel, and I will explain why. So the Ramo paskins the Mordechai, and the fundamental question that we mean to ask is, does the Mordechai mean to say that the fact that I was mechabed this moyel in previous brisen, older brothers of the newborn baby, does that mean I am a chuyev to take the same moyel again? Or does he refer only to a case in which I already promised the moyel, I already took him, and I want to regret and take someone else? And the fundamental question is, from which sugya exactly does the Mordechai learn his halacha? This is actually a chiddush of the Rama Rutenberg. The Mordechai was a Talmud of Rama Rutenberg. Like many of his other great Talmidim, Agos Maimonides, the Rosh. So the Mordechai learns this halacha from Matone Mu'etes, because Tosfos in Bava Basa Kuf Chof Gimel explains the halacha of Makira Kohuna. Why is it considered as if the Kohen was already Zoicha? Why? So Tosis explains, this aloch is based on another aloch above a Metziah Memtes, Matona Moetes, also Lachzaboy. If Reuven promised Shimon, I want to give you a gift of $10,000, Reuven could retract and say, I wanted to, but I regret it. It's a lot of money, and I regret it. I'm not going to give it to you. And that is okay. The fact that he promised to give him a gift, it's only a gift. He is entitled to say, no, I decided I'm not going to give it. But if it's a matola me'etis, if it's $20, not $10,000, then he must give that gift. He must live up to his promise. He could regret, and he's not liable. You can't call him to Beis Din. It's a gift. But we do expect him to live up to his word. Shehen Shulchot Tzedek V'Lav Shulchot Tzedek. So the Maram Rotenberg says, when we're dealing with Tumas HaMaisis, it's not yours anyway. It belongs to the Kohenim. It belongs to the Levim. All you have is Tovus HaNoah. The only thing you're entitled to is to decide whom are you going to give these Tumas HaMaisis. And therefore, it's like Matona Mu'etes, so I come back to the Rama Rotenberg regarding the concept of Mila and Sandik, Moel and Sandik. Does he compare them to Matona Muetes? And in that case, it is only if I promised, I invited them, and I was mechabed them to be Moel and Sandik. Or does he compare Mila, not to Matona Muetes, but to Makire Kahuna? And if Makira Kohen is the source, the fact that I gave them yesterday and the day before yesterday is Machayev me, obliges me to give them today. And the same will be regarding Moel and Sandik. The fact that you gave them in previous children means you must be Machabed the same people once again. And my psak is no. At any stage you could decide you want to take another Moel and another Sandik, and I will explain why. The Mordechai, not so much in Gittin, more in Masechet Shabbos, clearly says, Nodar lechaveroi. He made a promise to his friend. And that is only also the lotion of the Ramo, Kibdoi. And when we check the original Tshuva, Meram Rutenberg, which is printed in his Tshuvas, he deals with an interesting situation. Person was Mechabed Amoyel. The Moyel checked the baby and he said the baby is too small, too weak. Let's wait a month. And then the Moel went off to a distant land, Chutz La'aretz, Medina Sayyam. Father of the child assumed he's not going to be back on time, so he was mechabed another Moel. To his surprise, when the 30 days were over, Moel number one is back, and he said, I just came back from Chutz La'aretz, l'kavod your bris. And then both Moelim say, well, we both have the same kibud. Maram Rotemach says it goes back to Moel number one. So the situation he is dealing with is clearly the father was already mechabed the moel. That's the lotion of the Mordechai, that's the lotion of Maram Rotemach, that's the lotion of the Ramo. Rabbi Kiva Eger on the spot in the Reish Shamech Dala does quote Shuvas Marik, Marik Simen Ayin Vav. And the Marik clearly says, no, the story of the moel and Sandik is similar to Makira Kahuna, even though he didn't speak to the moel at all. And the Moel doesn't even know that he had a baby boy. But because he was Mechabed this Moel, in his first son, second son, he must give it to him again. Shalas HaTshuvas Atzei Chaim. Atzei Chaim was the Siget HaRav, the older brother of the Satmar Rebbe, of Rabbi Yoilish, of the Divrei Yoyim. He was the father-in-law of my Rebbe, of the Kloizim HaRebbe, Zivu Grishin, before the Holocaust. And in his Tshuvas Yoredei Chuftas, he argues that even the Marik only deals with a situation in which he was already mechaved him, and he is not right. It is clear in the Marik and in Rebbe Kiva Eger, according to the Marik, the fact that he was mechaved him by previous babies means he needs to be mechaved him once again. But in my opinion, ein halacha kemoisoi. The halacha is based on the Ramah, Mordechai Meram Rotenberg, and they clearly say he was Mechavadim this time around. Even more than that, the Bais Yosef quotes the Saloch and Bais Yosef, but not in the Shulchan Aruch. And the question is why. Many times I quoted the Chidon, Shalas Chuvus Yosef Oymes Machoftes, and the Chador says, how do we deal with this phenomenon? Sometimes the halacha is brought in Bis Yosef, and when you learn the Bis Yosef, it seems to look like this is his psak, and then we do not find it in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Chido explains there are one of three possibilities. If it's a milta de lo shchicha, if it's not a common happening phenomena, then we assume that is the reason the Bis Yosef didn't quote it in the Shulchan Aruch. The Bis Yosef was clearly interested that the Shulchan Aruch should be as short as possible. An interesting fact that many people don't know. The Shulchan Aruch was printed a few times during the lifetime of the Bis Yosef. And in the second edition, the Alef Chalke Shulchan Aruch is broken down to 30 days. And the Bis Yosef's expectation was that we should go through the entirety of Dalat Chalke Shulchan Aruch every month. Edition number 3. And the Bis Yosef is still alive, we no longer find that breakdown, that 30-day breakdown. I could only guess that people told the Bis Yosef, you are totally unrealistic. People could finish Tehillim once in 30 days, and every Tehillim you'll pick up, you're going to find the breakdown 30 days a month. But do you really expect people to go through the Dalat Chalke Shulchan Aruch once in 30 days? True, it was before the Mugra Avraham and the Taz, the Beis Shmona, the Chalke Smachoykek, the Sma and the Shach, in Choshe Mishpot, but still, Dalat Chalke Shulchan Aruch. You know, the Chazanish writes at the end of Chazanish Taharis, Ein ze bemitzius biyameinu shiyei odam boki bedalat Chalke Shulchan Aruch al Burion. It's not realistic, it's impossible. That's what the Chazanish writes. So did the Bis Yosef expect us to go through the Shulchan Aruch every month? Anyway, so the Chido explains, if it's a milta de lo shchicha, if it's something which is uncommon, that is the reason it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. If it is a milta de shchicha, but if we could derive the same halacha from another sif, then the Bis Yosef didn't want to write it twice. But if we can't learn this halacha from another source, and it is a common phenomena, then the only rationale we have, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch was edited and composed after the Bis Yosef, and the Bis Yosef decided that this is not halachic ruling, and he rejects it from halacha. So our situation is definitely a milta de shchicha. We cannot learn it from any other source in the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore we must assume the Mechaber doesn't pask in this halacha. The Ramo does, but the Ramo clearly deals with the situation a person was already Mechaber the Moel, Mechaber the Sandik, and only then you cannot retract. So halacha lamaisa, in my opinion, the fact that you were Mechaber the Moel, and definitely a Sandik in previous Simchas, means nothing. You are always entitled to take another one. If you were already Mechaber the Moel and the Sandik, you should not retract. But that is very uncommon. It's very uncommon that a person is Mechaber the Moel and the Sandik, and then he decides, wants to give someone else. I'm not a Moel. I was a Sandik many, many times. And one time I thought it's happening to me. So let me share this story with you, because it's a very happy story. Once, people called me on the phone, asked me to be a Sandik. I didn't know the people, but I agreed. Why not? It's a big schus. I asked, so where and when will the bris be? Okay, I'm gonna be there. A night before the bris, I get a phone call late at night. Shalom. Is the Rav coming to our bris tomorrow? And I say, Bizrat Hashem, I hope so. I am the grandfather of the child. So what goes through your mind when a night before a bris, a grandfather calls you about Sandikos? I spontaneously told the person, Kvod HaSaba, if you want to be the Sandik, it's totally okay with me. You have no problem. I'll come there, I'll say the brochas, you could be the Sandik. And he says, no. The Rav didn't understand me. I just want to tell you how much it means to us that Bezrat Hashem, you will be the Sandik. And we're so happy about it. And I ask him, so tell me what it's about. He says, our son was a star in yeshiva. Then at some stage, after he got married, he went down and down and down. And we were very distressed. We didn't know what's happening. And then one day he listened to your shiur somewhere on the internet or Kol HaLashon, I don't know where it was. And he was so moved and so enriched that he listened to another and another and another. And one shiur brought the other. And he developed such a havas Torah. Today he learns 15 hours a day and he's a Moira Hiroi Yisrael. He's a teacher of Torah. And that is why we're so happy that you're going to be the Sandik. I was so moved. So the other day in the morning, I come to the bris, it's a safari family, and I'm the Sandik, V'yekora Shemoi V'yisrael Asher. I was really moved. I'm an Ashkenazi, just as I look, you all know me, but I have a child named after me. So after the bris, the father comes over to me and he says, I wanted to name him Osher Zelig, like the Rav's name, but for my Bukhari family, that was already too much. That wouldn't fly, so I just gave him one name, just Osher. So I almost thought I'm losing this Sunday course, and at the end of the day, it was beautiful, and it was probably one of the most moving Sunday course I ever had. So anyway, that is my psak, and for many reasons. The truth is that the comparison to Mikira Kohen is a very weak comparison, and therefore I think the Mordechai and Ram Rotemach just want to bring a dugma ba'alma. It's not the same as Tumas HaMaisas. Tumas HaMaisas already belonged to Shevet Kohuna. And therefore, even Makira Kohuna is enough to give them this chos. But here, the Kohen has no demand. He has no entitlement. He has no right. It's not his. It's totally the father's choice. And a second difference would be Tumas HaMaisas are todior. It is steady. So every season you have Tumas HaMaisas. Grapes, apples, pears, lemons. Whenever the peres are ready, you're mafresh once and again and again and again. And the same with vegetables. So it's a kvius. So it's reasonable to say, this is your koyin, this is your lady. But regarding bris milah or sandakos, does a person know when he's going to have the next baby boy? Is it something which is in his power? And it might be a girl. And it might be nobody. And who says your wife will conceive? So how could we compare Tumas HaMaisas, which are a kvius, to sandakos and milah? But my most powerful argument is, the Ramo is the one that quotes this halacha, and he clearly talks about a moyal and bal bris. Same Ramo, Reish Samechei, one similar Sifu Dalav says, one should not be mechaved a sandik twice. You're not supposed to be mechaved a sandik twice, and the source of this halacha is the Maril, because sandikos says, Zgura la'ashiris, and by k'toiris, chadoshim l'k'toiris, we want everybody to have the opportunity to become rich and not only one or two people. So how could the Ramo say, if I was Mechaber the Sandik once or twice or three times, I need to be Mechaber him again? That is against Halacha. You're not supposed to be Mechaber the Sandik twice. And therefore, it is clear to me that this Halacha only refers, Lo kedivrei Marik v'Rabbi Akiva Eiger, it only refers to a person that was already mechubed. He was given the opportunity to be besandik. You cannot regret and you cannot take it away from him. Another argument is, Rashi, Makir Kona says, Makiroi v'ohavoi. So usually, by Tumas HaMaisas, in every town, in every city, there are many Kohanim, many Levim. So what would be the reason for a person always to give his matanos to one Kohen and one Levi? Must be he's a friend. He's somebody we love, we cherish, we like, we're friends. And that is the reason it would be considered as if I promised him. But by a moyel, in most cases there aren't that many moyelim like Kohenim and Levim. And the reason you're mechabed a certain moyel is not because he's your friend necessarily, because he's a Yerei Shemayim. And he has a good reputation. He knows his job. And therefore, it is not based on a personal relationship and personal friendship. And therefore, why would it be considered as a promise? Why would it be considered as matona miyedes? Maybe in days of yore it was different. In the days of Maram Rutenberg and the Mordechai. But in the reality of today, in the vast majority of cases, Even if you wore Mechabed HaMoel once or twice or three times, it doesn't mean, it is not seen as any obligation. It's not because we're friends. It's just because he's a good Moel and he Yerei Shemayim. And if I find another that is just as good and just as big a tzaddik, why can't I take that other? So for all these reasons, halacha l'maaseh, you could always decide whichever Moel you want. And this brings me to a broader discussion about chazaka and mitzvahs in general, lav dafka mila. So we started the shiur with Mordechai number 1 and Mordechai number 2, and now we go over to Mordechai number 3 and Mordechai number 4. Mordechai Bavabasa Tov Kuf Lamed Gimel. If a person has a chazaka on Gelila, usually it means Hagba. So he buys Hagba every week, he has a chazaka, and you cannot give it to anyone else. And that halacha is quoted, Orachayim Kuf Nun Gimel Sif Chov Beis, that Amo quotes it in Choshe Mishpat Kuf Memtes Sif Lamed Dalef. And many ask, the Mordechai contradicts his own words, because Mordechai Megillah Tov Tov Lamed Aleph says about Yayin Lavdola. In most shuls in Europe, in Ashkenazi Europe, they made Kiddush and Avdola in the shul, and then they sold the privilege, the schus, to bring Yayin Lavdola, Ner Lemoyer, Yayin Lavdola. Shabbos we make a Misha Berach for those that donate Ner Lemoyer V'Yayin Lavdola. And the Mordechai says, the Kehillah has the right to sell the schus of Yayin Lavdola to whoever pays more. So obviously there is no chazaka in mitzvahs. Many achronim deal with this obvious contradiction, and my feeling is it's not a stira at all, and it all depends on the minig of the Kehillah. What I understand from the Mordechai in Bava Basra is the minig regarding Gelila was once a year or twice a year. In most shuls it was Simchas Torah. They sold Gelila, and the Kehillah decided Gelila cost 500 shekel. It wasn't a free for all. It wasn't like an auction. A person that takes upon himself 500 shekel, $500, has Gelila this year. And the same person, year after year, donated exactly what the Gabbom asked for. $500, he got Gelila. They cannot decide at some stage, now we want to give it to someone else. No. He has a chazaka. Regarding Yayin Avdola, the minig was different. Like in most shuls today, it's not that we say, who is willing to give $500 and it's yours? It's like an auction, and the one that bids the highest price gets it, Zachalai. In my shul, we're very short on cash, because almost all the people in my shul are Kollel guys. So every Shabbos we sell Shishi, Hagba Galila, Itzoa Vachnos, Yom Tov we sell all the aliyahs. And it's a free-for-all. Every week, every time, new story. And the one that gives the most, he is the one, Zachalai. So how could there be a Tanis Chazaka? This minute goes, contradicts Chazaka. Every week, you gotta buy. And you gotta pay more than all the others that bid for the same. So it all depends on the minag. So let's go back to the fundamental question. Is there Chazaka by mitzvahs at all? The Mordechai says yes, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch Orachayim, Ramochoy Shemishpot. Comes along the Trumas Edeshen, Simakuf Chof Ches Chelik Beis Psokim. Trumas Edeshen says, Chazukah is only if you pay for it. Like the Mordechai Begalila. If you pay, it's like a kinyan, it's like a transaction. Shalosh Shetubas Maria Levi Chof Aleph says the same, and they're medayik the loshon of the Mordechai chazaka sheyesh matayne. We're familiar with the concept chazaka sheyesh matayne from Perek Gimel of Bava Basra, Cheskos Abatim, which means I'm sitting in the field in the house 3 years, but that is not enough. I must claim that I bought this house, I paid for it, I made a kenyan. Torah Masechta says the same regarding chazaka b'mitzvos. Berad Baz. Different opinion. Tshuva Zed Baz. Be Elef Pei Hei. I think it's Chedek Dalet Simen Yud Alef. Radban says this, Chazaka b'mitzvahs, whether you pay or not, it does not depend on paying. Gina Zvrodim is of the same opinion. Yoredea, Klal Gimel, Siman Zayin. Shara Shuv is Botekin and said, this is the opinion of Roiv Raboiseinu. Botekin, Chelik Beis, I think it's Yud Zayin. So the Machloikas is, Chazaka b'mitzvahs is only if you acquired and paid for something, or even the mere fact. I have this chazaka. So this Simchas Torah was asked an interesting question. There's a shul, and a very respected member of the community, a big Talmud Chacham, had Chosen Torah for the past 15 years. The Rav of the Shechuna used to daven in another shul, but he became older, and he has difficulty walking, so for the past few months he came to daven in this shul. Comes Simchas Torah. The Talmud Chacham says, I have a chazaka. For 15 years I'm Chosen Torah. The Gaboim say, but this is the Rav of the town. And he's a major Talmud Chacham and a famous person. How could we have him in shul and not give him Chosen Torah? This would be an embarrassment. But Pliny argues, it's my chazaka. 15 years I'm the Chosen Torah. So we made a compromise. The one that used to be Chosen Torah will get Chosen Bereishis. Chosen Bereishis, there was no real chazaka. And the others understood the dilemma, and they stepped aside, and they say, okay. So the Rav got Chosen Torah, and that other respected member of the community got Chosen Bereishis. V'hakol al mekoyma yovoy b'sholoim. So this is a discussion, whether there is chazaka b'mitzvahs, only when you buy something and you pay for it, Tumas Edeshen, Radbaz, and many others know Chazaka b'mitzvahs is relevant by any mitzvah. However, what is the origin and what is the reasoning, the rationale to Chazaka b'mitzvahs? Tshuvas Meramash Yoredei Kuf Tezayin says this is based on a Gemara Tanis Daf Chof Ches. I don't have time to go into many details, but what I learned from the Ramban, Chazaka b'mitzvah is only a mitzvah that has kavod and honor. And it is similar to cheska serora. There's a chazaka by serora, and that is well established in Shulchan Aruch. The origin of this concept is from Malchus. Malchus Nasius, Rabbonus. Fascinating tshuva in Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim says that by Rebistva, Admurut, there is no chazaka. Because what does it mean to be a Rebbe? What does it mean to be an Admor? Says the Divrei Chaim, the Tzan Zerav, founder of a dynasty. Rabbonus is Sarora, but Rabistve is Avdus. Kol Kulay Avdus, without 1 gram, 1 ounce of Sarora. What does it mean to be a Rebbe? It means you need to feel with every broken heart. You need to give brachas. You need to daven for members of your chatzar, of your group. You need to feel their pain and their suffering and daven for them. That's avdus, that's not serora. But anyway, there is Yerusha b'serora and Chazaka b'serora. And the Radbaz says, mitzvah is like serora. And it refers to a kibud in shul, chosen Torah, chosen bereishis, shishi, hag, begalile, yayin, lavdola. It is only by mitzvahs that have a certain chashivus in the eyes of people, and they come with kavod, and we learn cheska b'mitzvahs, chazaka b'mitzvahs, from cheska seror. And according to this, it is not by all mitzvahs, but only those that come with a degree of honor, of respect. How does one achieve chazaka b'mitzvahs? Shari Tshuva Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, and I think it's Siv Kotten Tet, brings from Shilas Yavetz, Chelik Beis Pei Teseb Yankav Emden. Even if he once was Oila, he already has a chazaka. And that is very unreasonable. Doesn't make sense. Once? Somebody's gotta be Oila. Somebody gotta give the donation, whether it's Yain Avdor or Nel Amor. And so how do you get a chazaka? Prima Godem, Tov Kuf Pei Aleph Eishel Rom Siv Kotten Vav says 3 times. We do find that 3 times have some significance, but even so, what does it have to do with Chazaka B'mitzvahs? Cheskes Gimel Shonam has a totally different reasoning in Perek Cheskes Abatim. The concept of Gimel Po'omim is Vaikatlares, Tinek Shemesi Echov Machmes Mila. What does it have to do with Chazaka B'mitzvos? I think it's very reasonable what we find in Mishnah Berurah Kuf Nun Gimel Siman Kuf Beis. It's relative. There is no one fixed rule. If a person is zoich in a mitzvah once again and again, in a fashion, in a manner, which in the eyes of members of the community would be defined as a kvius, and they would assume that he's going to have it again and again, that is when we say yesh chazaka b'mitzvos. So it depends lefi amokam, lefi azman, lefi inyan, and there is no one fixed rule. So today we had a brief discussion about Chazaka B'mitzvah, starting off with Mila and Sunday Kores, and then other mitzvahs. And this week we learn Parshas Lech Lecha. The very first Jew was the first wandering Jew. And the very first of Asara Nesiyonis is Lech Lecha, go. And Avram goes, and he doesn't even know where he's going. El Ha'oretz Asher Ar'eko. Rashi writes, Lech Lecho Lahana Oscho Velotevascho. So obviously Rashi is troubled. What is Lecho? And why not simply Lech? And that is why Lahana Oscho Velotevascho. So it's actually a medish, but the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban says, Lech Lecho is Loshen HaKosuv. And it's not something which demands interpretation. In Shir HaShirim Perek Beis, HaGeshem Cholaf holach loi. Geshem, rain. Holach loi. Lan osoi vila toiv osoi. The rain has no hanoi, has no toiv. And the Pesuk says, Geshem cholaf holach loi. Eilchu li el hagedoylem. That's the Pesuk in Yirmiyahu Perikei. Eilchu li. Kumu v'uvru lochem es nachal azored. Kumu v'ivru lochem. So in so many psalchim, this is standard lashon. Comes along Rabbi David Parado, Sefer Maskal David, and he says, no, the Ramban got it wrong. What Rashi means to say is, the lashon leich is correct when a person goes to a certain destination. When all he is required to do is leaving the place where he is, then we would use the expression tzei. Avram doesn't know where he's going. So it would be appropriate that the Pesuk should say, Tzei lecho ma'artzecho mimaradetecho umebeis avicho, not leich. When you say leich, you got a point, to a destination. And he has no destination. And that is why Rashi writes down on Sefer Tevaschon. But I think that Ramban would still argue, and he would say, it all depends on the essence. So when the point is leaving a place, and it doesn't really matter where you're going, that is when we would say tsei. But when the objective is going somewhere, even though we don't know exactly where that somewhere is, then we would say leich. Avraham Avinu is quite confident. It's not just leaving Choron. I am going somewhere. El Ha'oretz Asher Ar'eko, and that's why Lech is the appropriate term, and not tzei. So Avraham Avinu doesn't know where he's going, but he knows he's going somewhere. And he knows that somewhere is a somewhere of promise, of magnificence, of glory. That somewhere is where he and Klal Yisrael need to be. And it is Lech Lecho. Lahana Ascha Veletoivasra. I explained so many times the Sora Nisyanis Nisnas Avraham Avinu V'yamid Bekulam. These ten Nisyanis were not for him, it was for us. He is our father, first and foremost of the Oves Hakdoshim. And then Ramban explains at the beginning of Chumash Shemois, Masa Oves Yitzira Labonim, not only Siman Labonim, Yitzira Labonim. Whatever they did, whatever happened to them, determined our future, our history, our past. It's all about us. And those ten Nisyonos of Nesnas Avraham Avinu cover all the different realms of the human condition, of human experience. Everything that a person might be confronted, every Nisoyon we might need to deal with throughout the ages, they were all part of that Asura Nisyonos. And the very first Nisoyon was Golus, and it is a terrible Nisoyon. It's an Nisoyon we have experienced in every generation. It is as if every Jew hears an echo in his ears, Lech Lecha, Goyla Achar Goyla, Goyla Visula. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from Avraham, Lech Lecha, Me'aratzachu Me'maradetachu Me'beisavicho, Lo'ezu, Avzu. Human nature somehow connects. One of the great psychologists coined the term, man is a social being. Ha'adamu Yitzur Chevroti. It is actually the Gemara in Tanis thousands of years earlier. Oy chavruta o mituta. Give me friends or give me death. Man is a social being. And man has some inherent loyalty to his country. Millions of people march to their deaths just for their nation. But a man feels even closer to his social circle. And in Loshon HaKosev, that is what it means, Moiladet Tacho. And the closest a man feels to his family. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecho, leave your country. Not only your country, Moiladet Tacho, your friends, the place you were born, the people you grew up with, your neighbors, your social circle. And not only them, you're also to leave your family, Mebeis Ovicho. And where am I going? He doesn't know. And that is the Nisoyon of Klal Yisrael. Goyla achar goyla, one expulsion after the other. Leave. And we didn't even know where we're going. But we went. We went to, we were forced to go. But in the depths of our heart, we knew we're going. We're on our way to Yerushalayim. Hundreds of years, thousands of years. But wherever we were expelled, we knew we are on our way to Yerushalayim. A long, twisted, convoluted, tortuous way. What a road. But at the end of the road, we were confident. At the end of the road, there's a beautiful city. And that is Yerushalayim, Ir Shechuber Lo Yachdav. And we also felt in the depth of our hearts, Laich Lecho, go, Lahana Ascha, Ule Tevascha. At the end of days, it'll be obvious, yes, all the Golas was a Mafteach Shel Geulo. We didn't know where we're going. We didn't want to go where we were sent. But we knew, at the end of this long, twisted, torturous road, there's a great city, Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. Lahana Ascha, V'Letevascha. To be Makabel Pnei Moshiach Tzidkeinu. B'Meheru V'Yomeinu Amen. So when we start learning Parshas Lech Lecha, Masa Avos Yetzira Labonim, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Biglal Avos Toshia Bonim, Vesavi Geulo Levnei Bneihem, Bemehero V'Yomeinu Amen.
Olam Shalem Shel Tochen, Mechakeh Lecha Bekol HaLashon, 03-617-1111